The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Ladies and gentlemen, tables and chairs. Can't go any further than that, Kingy. This is the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast, Season 14, Episode 206. Kingy's not keeping track of our episodes.
No, I got no idea.
Or series numbers, so nobody has any idea. It's in the ether, but we're back again. Round one is in the bin, and the Cats have got the 4 points with a colossal 78-point victory over the Dockers.
Didn't see that at three-quarter time. Probably saw it at halftime.
Yeah, I didn't see a 78-point win. We did catch up with one of the West Australian media straight after the game, who...
The great Craig O'Donoghue.
Yeah, Cod, who actually was a bit surprised at the margin, but he wasn't surprised in any way, shape or form that the Dockers didn't put up much of a fight. He said that they were playing quite a young side, and he felt that the result, albeit not to that level, but it wasn't an upset result for him in any... Not that it was an upset, the Cats were favoured, but I don't think anybody in their wildest dreams would have thought they'd win by... the best part of, what, 13 or 14 goals.
13 goals, yep.
So it was a good effort from the Cats. It was a training run at times, Kingy, wasn't it?
The last quarter especially.
Even at times in the first half, the Cats were just doing as they pleased. And they were the thing that I liked was that their pressure was good. It's always been an issue for the Cats, hasn't it? It can really fluctuate that pressure, and that's going to happen with most teams. But, you know, I think back to the teams of... Let's say when Ross Lyon was coaching Fremantle and the Dockers, you knew it was going to be a brutal...
Fremantle and the
Dockers. Oh, sorry, Fremantle and St Kilda. You knew it was going to... I was getting mixed up there. I went and just got a pineapple lolly before. And
did you?
Yeah, it's like a...
Is it pineapple-y?
Well, it's not really, actually. It's orange, to be honest with you, but it's in a pineapple...
Pineapple wrapper, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a bit weird, isn't it?
Confuse you.
There is confusion, Kingy.
Yes.
Absolutely.
As confused as what, Benny?
Oh, there's many things you could be confused about, Kingy. The top, what is it? The what?
Yeah, right. No, you didn't have to go to that
the
one.
The baby at the topless bar. Yeah, it'd be confusing, wouldn't it, Kingy?
It would be.
Have you ever been that confused?
No, Benny.
At the bar?
Can we talk about the footy?
It'd be a good sort of confusion, though, wouldn't
right.
it? There's sometimes bad confusion and good confusion. I think that'd be a really good sort of, you know.
Did you know the Dockers had the ball more than the Cats?
Well, that doesn't surprise me because they chipped it around, had half back for about 15 minutes.
By one possession.
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised.
And won the clearances.
Yeah, stats in footy, I think, can be so misleading. Mm. I mean, I think Geelong have never been a good clearance team. So that's, they got away with it clearly on Saturday. It really didn't make any difference, but...
I only got beat by one.
But I don't know what the scores were clearances from. I think they were that might have been... relatively close.
Well, the Dockers in the third quarter, every time they cleared it, they seemed to score.
Yeah, they did. But, yeah, I just think that Geelong don't want to... clearances are going to be crucial against maybe some of the better teams. And I actually think Dockers will be a pretty good team this year. And clearly they didn't play well, but I wouldn't be writing the Dockers off just yet.
No.
I get a bit frustrated, Kingy, with the predictions, good and bad and indifferent.
We're only 1 week.
Made off one game.
Yep.
People were saying how great Sam De Koning was, and he did play well. He played a bloke, I'd never heard of.
Yep.
Like, literally.
Liam Reedy.
Never heard of him. So, do we take it off that game, or do we take it off the practice match against Essendon when he got his pants pulled down by Draper?
Draper, yep.
Which game do you go with?
It probably sits somewhere in the middle.
I would have thought. He was good. His ruck work is still, I think, non-existent.
But they're persisting.
He's good around the ground.
Yep.
Yeah, they are.
They're 25 disposals.
Yeah, and that's what he can do. He probably can get involved around the ground. His actual ruck work is horrible. Mm. It's horrible. But he's around the ground, he can get involved. He kicked that wonderful snap goal from 45. If he can start marking the ball around the ground, it will be a real asset for Geelong, because particularly against... You know, in big games when it's tight and it's tough and there's a lot of pressure on, that dump kick down the line, if you can get your ruckman taking a contested mark at half back or on centre wing, it can just break the play up. And, you know, that's what Max Gawn has been really good at. So if he can be doing that, it can offset the fact that he really, I don't think he's got any idea in the ruck, to be honest with you, but and I don't think he particularly likes it. But anyway, we'll see how that transpires when he plays against, you know, a decent quality sort of ruckman, because I guarantee you this week, Rowan Marshall will run straight at him and put his knee straight through.
It'd be interesting to see, though, where they play Marshall with King.
Well, he's underdone, Marshall, isn't
he? Well, Marshall played forward last week and they rucked that Harry Boyd they picked up in the preseason.
Old hazmat.
Hazmat.
Geelong, they need Marshall in the middle. I just don't know if he's got the fitness.
Yeah.
So,
De Koning could have a day out against a second gamer.
Well, if he's against Boyd, you'd hope he could. Yeah. If he's against Marshall, it'd be interesting to see how that goes. You'll get a little snapshot. Because I'm sure Marshall will play in the ruck at some point.
Yeah.
He may not be there for, you know, the periods of time that he would be playing when he's fully fit, but he's going to have a crack in the ruck
at some
point.
Boyd's had 27 hit outs and Marshall had 9 of their 36.
Yeah, and they were woeful, St Kilda.
Yeah.
Geelong have probably got them at the right time. I don't think they might get Owens back, is it?
Yeah.
But they've got very few else to come back in. No King.
No Butler.
No Philippou. No, there's one other one up there.
Butler's not playing.
Butler's not playing, but they've got another key forward who's not too bad as well, whose name escapes me, who's not playing as well. Look, they're and down back, I think there's no Doogie Howser MD, is there?
Dougal didn't play.
No. They've got a few issues all over the park. They've had a disjointed preseason. Key players have missed chunks of the preseason. They don't have a whole lot in the midfield. I mean, they're right for Geelong. Geelong traditionally have struggled against St Kilda at Marvel.
Lost the last three.
Yeah, so this is a good opportunity. They don't want to let their guard down, the Cats, but it's a good opportunity that if they bring something resembling pretty good form, they should be beating an underdone, understrength, and undermanned St Kilda.
Yep. Yeah, but this is also the game, too, if Geelong aren't. You only have to be a little bit off.
Yeah.
And you get your pants pulled down.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely you do. And I mean,
like, it's hard to believe that St Kilda actually beat Geelong 2 rounds out from the finals last year.
That's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And even, I mean, you saw some results, the difference in results in round one. I mean, I know Gold Coast were favoured to beat West Coast, but not by that much.
No.
St Kilda got absolutely pizzled by Adelaide.
Yeah.
Geelong pizzled Fremantle.
Yeah.
There were some results that were, and it's worth just remembering too. Brisbane lose lost their first four games last year.
First five, I think,
and won the. Was it five?
Was
it
four? Might have
been one and four.
Oh, Hawthorn lost their first five last year,
and Hawthorn should have finished top four.
Yeah,
and Brisbane won the flag. So just don't over race is the expression.
Carlton have absolutely copped it. Look, they should never have lost to Richmond.
No, and that makes it and that was diabolical. Mm. What's going on there?
But it's one game. The sample size is very, very small.
Absolutely.
If they were to rock up tonight on Thursday night, as we record this Thursday,
do you think they will?
Well, they'll be.
Do you think they'll win tonight? They'll rock up.
No,
they'll win.
No, Hawthorn win. Hawthorn are a good side.
They are a good side.
Easter Monday is going to be. I know it's.
They're a team that. They're a team that since round five last year. I know they somehow lost a couple of games unbelievably late in the year last year, but they've been enormously consistent.
Yep.
In their intensity and their effort. Which is difficult to do. That there's not a huge. Although I will say, last week in the game against Hawthorn Essendon, I thought Essendon matched them after quarter time. Mm. The game was the difference in that game was the first quarter. I think Essendon outscored Hawthorn from quarter time onwards.
Yep.
By about a goal or two, and played quite well. So
it was Hawthorn only kicked 11 goals after quarter time. Actually. It was pretty tight. Essendon, if they had been accurate, the inaccuracy hurt Essendon. They had one less scoring shot and lost by 26 points.
Yeah.
26
they,
points.
They actually matched more than matched Hawthorn after quarter time. They had a dismal first quarter. So the Hawks were, you know, I'd imagine probably, you get the win, you're happy with that. Slightly disappointed with their, particularly the second half, they dropped off a bit, the Hawks. So, and Carlton will throw everything at them tonight. That's a really interesting game tonight.
Yep.
No Scrimshaw. No. They've got old Sam Frost down back. He still makes you a little bit.
No, I don't think Frost is playing. Yeah, no, I think
he makes you real Bruce Nankin.
Gunston's come in for Frost.
Right. Well, they had to move him out because
Frost started as the sub last week.
He did, and he came on and he made some howling mistakes. He is what they call Kingy, a smeg up merchant.
Right.
And you know what smeg means?
No.
So smeg was a term used on the comedy series, the sci-fi comedy series called Red Dwarf.
Yes.
Written by, I think it was...
Was Ben Elton involved in Red Dwarf?
Rod Grant and Doug Naylor? Yeah. No, I don't think so. Okay. He was involved in the young ones, wasn't he? Ben Elton?
Yeah, maybe.
So this series, if you've never seen it, it is absolutely hilarious. But they used the word smeg because back then you weren't allowed to swearing wasn't a thing. Yeah. So smeg replaced something else, Kingy.
Right. Robert Llewellyn.
Do you know what the word was?
Well, probably it also starts with S.
No.
No.
No, he might have started with F.
Oh, right, okay. Yes. Robert Llewellyn, Doug Naylor, Rob Grant and Kim Fuller.
Oh, noticed. Absolutely classical stuff. Okay. They had a cat in that show who developed over 3 million years. Right. There was a man and he was a cat, so he had all the traits of a cat. Yeah. Anyway, if you had a little bit of the... If you had some sort of Bob Marley's finest and you watched that, it was hilarious.
Jackson Archer's suspension. Benny, what'd you make of that?
Well, I thought that was... What else? Shouldn't he got a free kick for taking his legs out?
Would have thought.
Yeah. But he got suspended for 3 weeks because someone got injured.
Yep. We're now effect, not cause.
Oh, I have been for a long time. Mm. He had his legs taken from him.
Yep.
He went in hard and he had his legs taken from him. How was it not a free kick to him?
Yep.
But he actually happened to hit him in the head. So that's probably where the suspension stems from. But it's simply because, I mean, he was pretty reckless in the way he went for the ball or went, you know, but... I don't know, watching it. Initially, I thought, God, that kid's has got injured, but that's actually a free kick to Archer. But anyway, he's got 3 weeks. And they appealed it and...
Yeah, no, they went to the tribunal.
No, because old mate was, he was Gonski.
Yeah, and they decided not to appeal it. They could have taken it further, but have decided not to. So the Cats injury list, Benny has, well, it's doubled from last week, but it's a bunch of it's kids that they're just managing through. Lenny Hoffman with the hamstrings being added to it. Mattafy Forbes is just being managed for 3 to 4 weeks to get good conditioning.
Who's that?
Keaton Mattafy Forbes. Jacob.
A winger for the Storm?
Jacob Mollier, a hamstring 1 to 3 weeks. He's a young big from South Australia. Mitch Edwards, though, is a bit of a blow. He's got a pelvis issue. He's TB confirmed, so throw him in there with Conway back TB confirmed. Killian Burke, the Irish kid's got a knee issue that's indefinite. Busey's still 7 to 11 with the finger. I ran into Busey during the week and had a quick chat. So he's going to be, he'll be very fit. He's just going to time, he said, I'll time a run like I did last year.
And get in.
Get in. So there's a question about Geelong small defenders a little bit later that we're going to.
We've also got Hijo's Heroes, Kingy.
We do. What numbers is
3-18 and 27, I think.
3-18 and 27.
There's a bit to talk about there.
Gee, the 27's got some competition.
Murray Whitcomb. He wore the 18.
He wore 18.
He did.
Yep.
Old Muzz.
Paul Lynch wore the 18.
He was a good player, Paul Lynch. He used to get his ham, unfortunately, injure his hamstrings just going through the banner.
I was going to say, actually, was he a bit Toby Conway?
Oh.
Hamstring injuries.
Oh! There's been a sighting of Loch Ness.
Has there? Where?
This week.
Whereabouts?
In Grovedale.
Oh, you saw him in Grovedale?
I didn't see him, but there is a sighting.
Right.
A Loch Ness Conway sighting.
Good.
And do you know what he was doing? He wasn't doing anything to do with football. He was playing table tennis.
Right.
So I was talking to Crotix, and Crotix suggested to me as he was sudding, he likes to sud.
Yeah, which is having a beer.
Yeah, he suds quite regularly.
Yep.
Most days ending in Y. And he told me that Loch Ness was currently in the back room playing
table tennis.
Right,
okay. Yeah. Sort of Forrest Gump style.
Absolutely. Had to bend down. No, I mean, do you think it's a table tennis, given how tall he is, would be the sport he should be playing?
It's not a 6'8" sport.
No, I wouldn't have thought, because you have to sort of lean over. Yeah. Next thing you've done it back playing table tennis. First in bed, and then playing table tennis.
Any change to the Cats, do you think, Benny? Or do they go in with the same manner? I think we'll have to have another week in the VFL.
I wouldn't have thought you'd be changing that, Kingy.
No.
There was no injuries.
No.
Or obvious injuries. I'd be surprised if they change that mix up. I would like to see.
Does Clark get a chance from the start?
Yeah, I was just about to say that. I would like to see Jai Clark get a crack. I thought he was pretty good. I'm trying to think of, you know, somebody who you could make the sub, possibly O'Connor.
Yep.
The only one I'm concerned about, Kingy.
Bose is a sub.
Bose was quiet. He was good in the practice game, so which game do you take it off? A bit like the Sam De Koning theory. I'd probably leave Bose in the hope that he finds a little bit of form.
Yep.
I don't know if you want to go out off a poor one as to the sub and then maybe only get a quarter and a half. And then I'd like to see him get back in the mix.
Are you surprised they left Jai Clark so late?
When the game was, well, it was probably still in the balance. You know what coaches are like. They worry about anything.
Mm.
So they were probably still concerned at three-quarter time. I mean, had Freo kicked the first goal of the last quarter, it was certainly on for, like, old Donkey Kong. But they didn't. Yeah, I would have thought he probably could have, 5 or 6 minutes, they could have pulled the trigger a bit earlier. But he got in. The one player I am worried about, Kingy, and we can say it because Zach Tui is not here.
Yeah.
Is old the old Ocean's 11. Yeah. He had his pants pulled down again. That kid kicked four on him.
Yeah, Harley...
Harley Reid.
No.
He's playing for the Dockers.
Murphy Reid.
Murphy Reid kicked four on old O'Sheen, who... Yeah, look, he had his pants pulled down in the practice match, and he was spanked, and in one quarter, a kid playing his first game just pulled his pants down like you do when you go to the urinal as a kid, right down to your ankles.
Yeah.
And he was, the paddles were out, and he was getting absolutely walloped on both cheeks. He doesn't get enough of the ball. He's struggling to defend. He ball watches. I know he's developing, so do you persist? Well, possibly. You've won by 78 points, so we know one's talking about it. But he's had, what, 8 goals kicked on him in 2 games by kids? First gamers.
Kako, yep.
Yeah. So that isn't a good sign.
No.
And he's not offsetting it by doing anything spectacularly offensively.
No.
And we heard, I mean, he is quick and he is powerful. We hear that. But he just doesn't get it. He doesn't know how to use it in the game. He doesn't find spots to use it in the game. So I'm sure they'll keep playing him, but I would be holding my breath. Who do we play? We play Brisbane, don't we?
Yep.
If Charlie Cameron comes back in and O'Sheen Mullen is on Charlie Cameron, I'd be investing on Charlie Cameron to be the leading goal kicker for the round.
Yep.
Bet responsibly, Kingy.
Yeah.
The more you bet, the more you win.
Yeah. No, Ben.
Yes, Tom.
Gamble responsibly.
No, always responsibly.
Yeah. So we suspect that there might
It's like a cup of tea. You know when people are sort of being a little bit sort of, what's the word? I'm trying to find the word, Kingy. I'm supposed to be all right in English, but I can't find the word. You know when somebody's talking to you and they go and say, a bit condescending, and they're saying, why don't you just go and have a nice cup of tea?
Yeah.
No one's ever said to you, why don't you just go and have a shit Lipton? Do they? No. It's always a nice cup of tea, isn't it?
Or a Dilmah or something like that.
Yeah, or from the Sri Lanka. Kamal used to advertise a little bit of the old Dilmah, didn't he?
Flavour of Ceylon.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, I'm stopping there before you take us down a path that we don't want to go.
No.
Do you want to answer some questions?
Well, I love questions, Kingy.
KFCX. Andrew Daly, welcome to AFL 25. Great first game, third quarter still sucks. Zach T settled in nicely in the commentary box. Not as much on the movie references though, Benny. Team played well, kids did well. Buse, 7 weeks for a finger. Who is he? Kenny Everett's brother, Lee Love?
No, I didn't. I didn't use any. I was just trying to ease Zach into it. I didn't want him to be out the door at three-quarter time if we started producing, you know, a little bit of Porky's Arrangement or
Revenge of the Nerds.
Revenge of the Nerds or Booger or...
Or Booger is Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah. Saving Ryan's Privates. You ever seen that?
No, Ben. No, that's... I'm sure. Don't type that in.
It's a beauty.
Yeah. Ben, we'll move on.
It's actual movie.
Yes. Edmund, how does Rod Ashman rate the midfield now and deconing rucking?
Yeah, well, we spoke about that. It was a great start. They played well. I liked Nevitt. I liked his handball at times in close.
Yeah, he opened the play up.
He did. There was a couple of really nice handballs that were a really good sign. I thought he was good. We liked a bit of Jai Clark when he got a crack late, albeit it was all one-way traffic, so you probably, if you're going to get a kick, it was the best time to be doing it. We loved Bailey Smith's debut. I mean, he couldn't have debuted in any better style, and he did, 32 possessions. He was fantastic. He looks fit. Someone said to me that he could have played last year, Kingy. Do you find that a bit strange?
Late in the year, there was some push.
I don't... Why would he have not done that?
Who knows?
I mean, the Bulldogs at one point late last year looked like they were on... Remember when they came down to Geelong and absolutely spanked them?
Yep.
And that was off the back of a.
He wasn't ready then, though. He was only.
They played finals, and he didn't play. Yeah. Anyway, well, he was good for the Cats.
They probably knew he was out the door, so basically, you've gone. Well, if you are ready, bad luck.
Do you find that a bit weird? So we're reaching the point now: is if you think you're out the door, you don't come back and play.
But whether he actually fully was ready to go or not, that's a big risk. That's a big risk to bring somebody back off a knee.
Pretty good player, though. You're not bringing back a bloody eighth string halfback.
I'm talking about knees. You know how Link McCarthy's done his again?
He's having the he's having it tied together with sticky tape in the hope that he can come back.
Hopefully, I hope so for our sake.
Let's hope that works. Yeah. Max Holmes was good. Dangerfield forward was good in the first half. And then he, well, the ball never got down him in the third quarter, and then he went into the midfield for parts in the last quarter. So that was good. I thought he had an impact up forward in that first half particularly.
Yeah.
What else did we like, Kingy? I mean, Shannon Neal, I thought was good. I really liked the way in the last quarter when, well, was the game up for grabs? I suppose you could say that it was. I mean, the Dockers had made a big run. I liked the fact that early in the last quarter, the guys doing the work that put a gap on the Dockers again were players like Nevitt, De Koning, and Shannon Neal took a couple of ripping contested marks. So that was a really good sign going forward.
I like Jack Henry's game.
Jack Henry looks like he's sharp, really sharp. I'm still not convinced that Tom Stewart just sort of starting in the middle and then working to half back. I don't know if that works. Mm. Did he get a clearance? I don't think he did.
I liked Humphrey's game too.
Yeah, he's a class player, Humphreys.
He's a class user.
Absolutely. He's been an absolute surprise packet, and he's only going to get better. What's he played? 10?
12.
12 games. He's so sure, and he's tough. And there's so much upside in his game.
Six rebound 50, six inside 50s.
Did Tom Stewart have a clearance?
Let me have a look, Benny. Tom Stewart did have no clearances.
No.
23 possessions.
Yeah, I'm not sure about all that. But anyway, that's where he seems to play. I mean, everybody else, when you win by that much, you're not going to have too many players who have struggled a little bit. But we mentioned Bowes was one that did.
Yep.
And what did he had less than 10 touches.
Bowes finished with 9, with seven tackles.
That's the area we spoke about it last year. It's the area where he's good is good and he's bad is bad.
Yep.
There can be such a marked difference, which is always a concern. And I said last year I'd like to see him play well when the team isn't going that well, because
yep.
he tends to jump on board. Now, he didn't on Saturday when they had a big win.
He did play well against Essendon.
Last year.
In that community.
In the community did, yeah. That was a practice game, but he did play well. And there was a game last year against St Kilda when they lost.
Yep.
He was their best player,
yep.
which was good.
Which was a game of Marvel.
I just think that just that gap of being your best player in the practice match against Essendon to being effectively your worst player in a 78-point win, he's got to find a way to be involved when it's, you know, and the classic example of that is Ollie Henry.
Yep.
I mean, I reckon you could argue he had a quietish game against the Dockers.
But so did Jeremy Cameron.
Ended up with 3 goals.
And Jeremy Cameron wasn't a huge...
Well, those guys, that's what I mean. Bowes is non-existent when he's non-existent.
Yeah. But the other two have kicked...
Ollie Henry can bob up and kick you 2. His bad games are 2 goals. His good games are 5.
Yep. Yep. And Cameron obviously feasted in the last quarter.
Yeah, he was pretty well held to that point. Yeah. So,
Alex Pierce is a very good player.
I'm just wondering, Bowes... If Jai Clark continues to develop, I know they're not exactly the same sort of player, but if Jai Clark continues to develop and Mitch Nevitt continues to develop and Bowes is just plotting, he'll be out the door.
VFL.
Yeah.
McAuley, with the addition of Reg to the podcast, will the name be changed to something more appropriate, such as the Rose Between the Thorns? With just a cameo from Reg, we do hope that Zach will join us probably once
We'll get him on again, but at this stage we're just referring to him as Broz. Just the one-hit wonder. you would have loved Bros back in the day, King, wouldn't you?
No, a little bit.
You got any of their albums?
No, I don't. No. Troy, great episode with Tui. Glad to be able to listen every week again. Fantastic win. Ignore the third quarter with coming back hard in the fourth. Bailey, I had no idea he was that great. If that is his norm, oh my God, we look good.
Well, he did look good. He couldn't have done any more. He looked fit. He had a big pre-season. I heard the coach talk after the game that... I might have been before the game. that in his press conference that it's about actually limiting what Bailey Smith does.
Yep.
He has a penchant for wanting to do too much in terms of his training. It's about holding him up and ensuring that he's fresh for when it counts rather than just letting him go bull at a gate. But look, he looked fantastic. You player like him, you've certainly noticed him. He's been a very good player for, you know, across 100 games. Right. If I had a knock on him, and this is just through my memories of him at the Bulldogs, was that he wasn't a great user of the ball. I was quite surprised he used the ball really well on Saturday.
Memories of him at the Dogs are being somebody who just sometime just got it on the boot and got him moving.
Yeah, and could turn it over.
Yep.
Not all the time, but we had a penchant for turning it over. Wasn't silky smooth, and I was a little, you know, it was pleasing to see him on Saturday. I don't think he really turned it over once. I mean, when you're playing midfield, you're always going to sometimes have that kick where you're just under pressure and you've got to kick it forward. But I was quite impressed with his skill level and his vision and his creativity on Saturday, which is you know, important.
And just quickly from Troy, Neil is super fun to support. He's going to dominate. Good news, Shannon Neil re-signed for 3 years.
Absolutely.
28.
Ollie Henry, 2.
Jeremy Cameron, 2.
Yeah, so they're 2027 and 28 for
Neil.
Yeah,
and close last week was to 28. And reports going around that Sam De Koning will re-sign as well. St Kilda were trying to get both Tom and Sam together next year. And So
Sam's close to re-signing, isn't he?
Yep. He's going to stay.
It's fantastic. The Cats are being able to shore up these players. I'm really happy with Neil. I think, you know, you're always concerned when you're in a West Australian that there's the lure of coming back. They'll have cap space. I mean, he's probably not going to the Dockers because, you know, they've got Amos and Tracy.
Yep.
But you would have thought that there'd certainly be an option for West Coast.
Especially if Oscar Allen takes...
Yeah, they'd be certainly in the market for a key forward, even with Oscar Allen, to have two. So to take him off the table for the next 3 years is fantastic, because he's going to continue to develop. I'm just going to have to be, you know, a little bit patient with him, because I think there's still growing pains. But he is so much to like about the way he plays.
Trevor Young, good signs all round, except for the unfortunate lapse in the third quarter. Why does this keep happening? On the plus side, we arrested the momentum well. PS, didn't the Saints wallop us in the third quarter last year too? Better make sure that doesn't happen again. Yes, Geelong led by about 6 goals at half time, and the third quarter at Marvel in the second last round, I think it was not ideal.
Well, that's where if you had one tiny concern, Kingy, and you've been pretty picky, but was that Geelong weren't able to arrest the momentum in the quarter?
No.
They had to wait till three-quarter time, and, you know, God knows what was said, but they did in the last quarter, so credit to them, but they weren't able to arrest it on the run in the third.
Yep.
And if there's been, you know, an issue for Geelong, it's been the pressure, the consistency of pressure, and it's also been the inability to stop teams just kicking 1,000 goals. I mean, was it last year Gold Coast kicked 25? Yeah.
Up in Darwin.
Yeah.
Yep.
The Carlton game.
Early in the year, yep.
St Kilda late in the year, they couldn't halt them in the second half. Just arresting that momentum is so important, because if you think back to, you know, the Geelong gun teams of 7, 9 and 11,
yep,
around that era, even the good teams of Richmond, the good teams of Hawthorn, and even thinking Collingwood, the one thing that they're really good at is limiting the opposition's ability to score when they've got the momentum.
Yep.
The game might be played in their half for 20 minutes, but they don't cough up 4 or 5 goals.
No.
They might cough up 1 or 2, but when you get the momentum back, you're still in a position to win the game. The game's not gone. That holding up under pressure is absolutely crucial against the good sides. And the Cats, they weren't able to do that in the third quarter against Frio. What did it go from 60 points down to 19?
Yeah, so it was 60 at late in the second. They kicked the goal after the siren at half time, and it got back to 21.
Right.
It was 21 at three-quarter.
The other thing, too, is that we've got to remember that it's AFL footy.
Yeah.
So the opposition's getting paid. I mean, they've got Sarong, Brayshaw, Luke Jackson. They've got some good players, Frio. Mm. So they are going to have the momentum at some point. I mean, you don't expect them to have it for a whole quarter. But in saying that, Frio wouldn't have expected the Cats to have it for 3.
Correct.
So, you know, you've got to take the good with the bad. But I do agree, just having mechanisms to halt momentum when it's really against you is something the Cats are going to have to, you know, hopefully continue to develop.
Damien Tedesco.
Mr. Tedesco.
Kingy and Cass, great call and podcast last week. The addition of Zach is just a laugh. What a game and effort from the team, more so the youth. Thought to Koning was great. Good to see Smith in action. Thought our transition from half back was great. Good to see Clark have a run.
Yeah, I agree with all that. Absolutely.
Edmund 59, your thoughts on small forwards? Everyone keeps raving about the Hawks. I think ours are the best. Stengel, close. Myers.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
Jack Martin, when he comes in.
Yeah, does he going to get a game?
Not getting a game above any of those. Soon.
I reckon he's break in case of emergency, Jack Martin. I mean, I'm sure they'll give him a game. He'd want a star because what I do like, you couldn't disagree with that. What I like is there's a variety. You know, Ollie Henry's a mid-sized forward who's just a freakish athlete who can do anything and has this uncanny ability to find the goals.
Yep.
Whether he touches the ball 6 times or 15 times, he finds the goals. He gets the ball in dangerous positions. Yep. He doesn't generally come way up the ground, but he's dangerous. He's quick. He's athletic. He can mark it. He can run back with the flight. He can do it aerially and on the ground. Tyson Stengel's the same. Good mark for his size. Pretty good tackler. Dangerous around goal. Yep. Close is the one that can be a bit hit and miss, but he's quick. He can work up the ground. And Myers is the one that's just the link player. Yep. He's got a tank that's unbelievable. Not many can keep up with him. So he can get right up the ground, can get right back. He's creative. I mean, when Grian Myers has the ball, as a Geelong fan, you generally get excited. Because you know he's creative. He's looking for that to bite off a bit more than he can chew. And when that happens, it's going to go awry every now and then. Yep. But if you're getting it right 7-8 times out of 10, you're encouraging him to do that all the time.
Yep.
And he's so creative in what he does, and he's so unpredictable in the way he kicks the ball. Yep. Like, the opposition have got no idea where it's going because he kicks across his body.
Rob J, easy to say after a win, but does O'Sullivan keep Collar out of the side? Blitzarves, no. Henry, O'Sullivan and Collar, Jasny, too many fullback types for me.
Yeah, not at this stage of his career. Absolutely not. Jake Collar, Jasny comes in and takes over that role. If Geelong are in the position and win enough games or they're confident enough going into a game, they could get 6 or 7 games into Connor O'Sullivan this year.
Well, he's going
to
get 3 or 4 before Collar's right.
Well, that'll be ideal.
Yep.
But at this stage, I'd be staggered if Collar O'Sullivan is getting a game ahead of Jake.
I don't reckon we'd see Collar till the...
Well, I heard Chris Scott say that it was...
Conservative.
Absolutely, and that Jake O'Jasny would be saying, how come I'm not playing?
Yeah,
so what would you be out for a month?
I wouldn't think we'd see him till the Adelaide game, just because of the 6-day break.
Well,
they
probably need one in the twos.
So, well, you potentially two, yeah. So,
yeah, because he's not a pure class sort of player, Collar O'Jasny. He's a workhorse and he needs his touch. But no, I mean, let's put it this way. If Connor O'Sullivan jumps up to the point where he's overtaking Jake Collar O'Jasny, he has made a quantum leap in his footy in one season.
But could he do what De Koning did
in
22?
No. I don't think he can.
Okay. Jai Clark played 15 games last year. He was the Cats' first pick in the draft 2 years before. Yeah. O'Sullivan, the first pick in the Cats draft.
Yeah, he's a...
Can he get...
Playing completely different position.
I know, though. But can he get to 15 games?
This year?
Yeah.
Plays 15 senior games? Yeah. I'd say no.
Okay.
No.
Paul Marinelli, surely Benny Stone...
Unless Blitzarves gets injured or... Yeah, if there's injuries, potentially.
But not
if
on.
Everyone's available, no.
Surely Benny's starting to come around to SDK, being able to play ruck and be a game changer for the Cats. He brings so much versatility in there, we can always switch back if we need.
Yeah, I agree we can switch back. And he's, at this stage, he's our best option in the ruck. But I maintain that he's not a ruckman. His actual ruck work is diabolical. And he gets the ball around the ground, so he offsets it with that, which is good. He did well on the weekend. I just don't think he's a ruckman. But you're right, he can go back and we can switch Blitzarves into the ruck. You probably could throw Shannon Neal into the ruck for a few minutes if you needed to. So there are other options, which I like, because let's say Blitzarves is getting beaten down back, you could make the switch with De Koning. So there is a bit of versatility there. But if you think that Sam De Koning is going to be Geelong's long-term ruckman for the next decade, then I reckon you've started to refresh on your bathwater.
Simon Quinn, top six from me, boys. Baz busier than a Highland Gathering discount stand.
Yes.
Bowes and Clark look brilliantly interchangeable. O'Sullivan's launch speed is seriously jet-like. Nevitt, a 12th century monk, a huge improver. He does have a hairstyle of a 12th century monk.
Who's that?
It's Mitch Nevitt.
Oh, Mitch Nevitt, yeah. Ivan Drago.
SDK better than track watches suggested, and Reg, as in Tui. Sound okay?
Yeah. No, no, I don't disagree with all. I mean, I wouldn't... Connor O'Sullivan's only playing his second game, so you don't want to be criticising, but he did look shaky at times in that game. There was a passage of play in the back line where he may have soiled his pants and then he allowed a goal because he wasn't... He's still very much learning. So you expect that. Has he got a load of talent? Yes. Has he put on size? Yes. Is he deserving of a crack early with Jake Colajasny? Yes. I don't think he's the long-term defender for the... I heard Chris Scott say in the press conference in the lead-up that his exact words were, and I'm not even paraphrasing, were that had Jake Colajasny been available, it would have been very difficult to play Connor O'Sullivan.
Correct. Just Cat, love you guys. Assess how many A-graders our team has. It has to be positional since we are not talking dumbass All-Australian selection criteria, e.g. 80% mids. Also, how many in 3 years' time would be interesting to forecast? Well, the A-graders right now are Stewart.
What do you classify as an A-grader?
That match winner.
Is it a match winner, though?
Oh, well, it's good. Like somebody who...
I classify an A-grader as somebody who would walk into the premiership team.
Yeah. Okay, well, Stewart would.
Yep.
Cameron would.
Yes.
Holmes would.
Yes.
Bailey Smith would.
Yes.
I think Zach Guthrie would.
I reckon he would. Stengel would.
Yep.
I reckon Myers would.
Yep.
And this is a level of A-grade. This is not...
Yep.
This is just an A-grade player. There are levels of A-grade.
Yeah, there is.
There's elite A-grade. There's very good A-grade. And there's just a plotting A-grade, which is still very good.
Local A, yep. Yeah.
I would have thought Myers is an A-grader.
Ollie Henry?
I would have thought Jack Henry is an A-grader.
Yep.
Ollie Henry is heading towards A-grade. Maybe not quite there.
I suppose the thing is, grab Brisbane's team from last year and who is... the players we're talking about replacing. So say that Brisbane said we're taking these blokes from Geelong because we think they're better than what we've got.
Yeah.
Into the premiership team, who would replace who is probably the question. It's an interesting comparison, one that we won't do today, but
That is interesting.
Which Geelong players would kick which Brisbane players out of that premiership 23?
Yeah, I mean.
There'd be a few. It's a hypothetical.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of fun to do.
Yeah, it would be. But so what we listed, what, six or seven A graders there?
Yep.
Maybe eight?
Yep. Well, Cameron instantly replaces Hipwood.
And the level up from A grader is match winner.
Yep.
So that's Cameron.
Yep.
That's Stewart. I think Holmes is getting there. I think he's not far away.
Stengel can be a match winner.
Stengel, yeah.
Yep.
Yep. But so that suddenly drops the field right down.
Yeah.
You don't have a eight of those.
No.
You have three or four. Yep. The good teams have three or four.
So that's off the KFC exit. There were a couple other questions, but they've disappeared. So we apologise if we haven't answered those for you. Off the big footy, who is our best option? This is Cats09. Who is our best option to play as a small defender this year?
Well, it's not Mullen in my book at this stage. He's struggling. It's Jed Buse, but he's injured, so they'll continue to play Mullen. This week they might probably get away with it. The game against Brisbane is going to be interesting because Colajasny has played on Cameron.
Just before this week, who goes to Higgins?
Well, they'll probably send Mullen there. I think that's dangerous. I'd be actually probably going with his compatriot, Mark O'Connor.
Yep.
Or Zach Guthrie.
Yep.
As an option.
But you don't want to lose Guthrie's.
No, but I think Guthrie's a smart enough player to still be able to defend and attack.
Yep.
You know, he's got a good balance. And look, if you're playing on someone like Jack Higgins, who's a very good player, first-round draft pick, let's say he kicks two goals, but Zach Guthrie's good enough to create or be involved in chains three or four going the other way, you take that. You're not going to just blanket really good players completely. Mm. It's what The problem will be if Jack Higgins is kicking 3 and 4 goals and Zach Guthrie is then concerned about him and providing you with nothing going the other way. That's when it becomes a bit of an issue. That's when you'd prefer just the lockdown player. You're not really concerned about them getting the ball, which is O'Connor, because he doesn't have great agility. O'Connor, he's a bit sort of, you need to rush out the WD-40 to him. He looks a bit sort of, you know, Jaime. Remember when Jaime in Get Smart and he was at the track?
I didn't watch a lot of Get Smart.
Well, you missed it because Jaime was going to win the race and his final lap, he's in the marathon, and he went into the stadium to finish the last lap, but his battery went about 10 metres from the line and he couldn't get over the line. Anyway, poor old, and Max had to push him over the line.
Cats. Any word on GMHBA sorting out their crap phone reception? Wi-Fi makes it hard to listen to K-Rock live at the ground. Always very stop-start, let alone make a phone call or check the stats on the AFL app. We have got Jared Griffin on. We'll come on before the Melbourne game from the Kidinya Park Stadium Trust. We will get an update then. Cats of the future, sample size equals one, but can you name a team that moves the ball faster than we do?
Hawthorn?
Yep. The Dogs try to.
Yeah.
Brisbane move it pretty quick.
They can. And we saw that in that preliminary final.
Yep.
When the game was on the line, they started really fizzing it around. I mean, there's clubs that can do it.
Yep. Giants move it pretty quick.
Jeez, they're going to be hard to beat the Giants. They found a way to beat Melbourne. And they got half their team.
Yeah, got half their team. Hogan. And they played in monsoon conditions on Sunday.
Yeah, they're going to be very, very, very hard to beat. We play them twice, I think.
Yes.
Do we? Once up there, once down here.
Correct. And within a very short, within about 7 weeks of each other, I reckon they're here in about round 9 or 10, and then I reckon we play them in about round 16 or 17.
Yeah, I think you're on the money there, Kingy. They'll be pivotal games.
Yep.
Moving the ball too is also dependent on the opposition.
Yep.
What they're doing. And the thing I've noticed with Hawthorn, and I watched the game on the weekend, and I watched their practice match as well. They've got unbelievable skill level, Hawthorn.
Yep.
Oh, they've played twice, haven't they?
They have.
Yeah, yes. So I've beaten
Sydney and beaten.
Yeah, so I've watched both games. They've got an unbelievable skill level. So to move the ball quickly, you have to have a really good skill level within your group, because you have to go for the kick that bites off a little bit, and that kick then puts the opposition sort of defensive structure all out of whack. But, you know, we often hear them say, oh, they're just going to have to kick it down the line. That's what they want them to do, because that just creates a contest. You end up with 10 players around the ball. It's a 50-50 ball. Mm-hmm. But if you're kicking that inboard ball that goes 40 metres into the middle and all the players are on one side of the ground, it just opens everything up. But you have to have skill to do that. And Hawthorn, I've noticed, their skill level is through the roof.
And they're coached by a bloke who was pretty skillful.
Yeah. But, they, I mean, clearly they've targeted skillful players.
Yep.
And I know that sounds... That sounds so simplistic, but some clubs get players who's the athlete who can't kick.
Yep.
It's like, well, teach him to kick. You can do that. If you're ingrained as a 19-year-old, I don't think you're going to suddenly become a great kick.
Although Cats have had to do it with Max Holmes.
Yeah, he's become a better kick. He was never really poor kick. He didn't have great touch.
He wasn't consistent.
He's not a great finisher in front of goal on the run.
No.
He's good from a set shot.
Yep.
He needs to work on his goals on the run in general play. That's an area that he struggles. The one player I always think of whose skill level was ordinary, but he always then worked within his limitations, with Matthew Scarlett.
Yep.
He was a terrible long kick.
But 30 metres.
Terrible.
Yep.
But he always kicked it short, and he was at a very effective short kick. Yep. His teammates knew that. They worked to that. They led up to him, and he'd always hit the target short. But he had no penetration on his kicking, and they'd end up going to helicopters because he had no penetration. But he became a very... competent short kick.
Howler 41. Well, aside from a third quarter blip, I thought the Cats were pretty clinical against the Dockers. They did have a couple out, not unlike Sam Lawler for the Tigers did Thursday night, but the Cats weren't at full strength either. Thought SDK rucked well. He's going to get beaten some weeks, but should at least learn and grow as the year goes on. Shannon Neal had one of the greatest 9-possession games I've seen. Big contested grab on the wing and 4 goal assists. He's fitting into the forward line nicely. Nevitt bought a cost of living like pressure to tackling. That's very good. He's not out of place in our side now, and as Benny says, there's a real point of difference with his size. Great to see Loch Ness stepped up his training loads and is now in fact sleeping in a hammock with a Hannibal Lecter mask to stop any future bed spasms.
And playing table tennis.
Also a great addition to the show with Reg. I'm sure I've heard the crowd cheer louder at KP than when Big Sexy kicked his goal versus the Eagles in the final round last year. So, yes, plenty to take away there from Howler 41. Daz Broncos, talk about interactive media. I post it would be great to get Zach on a podcast and Wooshka, not 36 hours later, he's on and you deliver a great one-hour episode. Great insight, good laughs, and his addition to the Carrot Box for home games will be very well received. Well, it's not just home games. He'll be with us in...
Is he off to Brisbane?
No, he's not coming to Brisbane.
Who's doing that?
Nealty.
Right. Nealty's on tour.
Nealty's on tour.
Right.
Dan Menzel's going to join us in Adelaide.
Yeah, looking forward. I haven't seen Dangerous Dan for a while.
Premiership coach now. He's been a premiership player and a premiership coach since he left the Swans.
Really?
Played flag with Woodville in the Sandful, and he coached Coorong Cats last year to a flag. Was best on ground in the ground. He kicked six.
Wow.
Yeah, so he's going to come and join us for the
there you go.
Gather round game.
Dangerous Dan.
Do we need to start a GoFundMe for research into the physical protection and developmental health of Geelong tall players over 198 centimetres? I see now that Mitch Edwards has a pelvis injury and Mollier is also unavailable with a hammy. I saw Kingy cited Nessie at KP training during the week, so that's encouraging. But for the love of Gary Ablett Sr., can we get a tall bloke that doesn't get hurt? Speaking of Neil, how good does it seem? It talks about Neil 203, SDK 202. How good does it see him running and jumping at the ball, but he's amending his attack to also now include bringing the ball to ground if he can't mark it and providing front and centre chances for the mediums and smalls?
Yeah, well, I agree with the first bit of that, Kingy. What was the first bit of that?
Back to the GoFundMe for...
The next bit.
Mitch Edwards.
Oh, just the tall players.
Yeah, injury, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's not ideal, is it?
I think a lot of it is conservatism with the Cats, knowing that they've got a lot of kids.
If Loch Ness did his injury in bed, where did Mitch Edwards do his pelvic injury?
I don't know.
Was he at the Rocky Horror Picture Show?
I don't know.
Was he doing the pelvic thrust?
Boom, boom.
Have you ever done that?
Done the time warp?
Have you ever done the pelvic thrust?
I've done the time warp.
Have you?
Yeah.
What about the nut bush?
Who will be the recipient of the opposition Darren Minchington 4 goals from nowhere and does SFA for the rest of the season award this week?
This week?
Yeah, which saint will be the one that we've never heard of and we'll never hear of again?
I'd watch their game.
It'll be a
Had a few no-names in there.
It'll be a
Caminiti, who couldn't get a kick, couldn't get a catch a cold last week, so he'll probably bob up and kick five.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, so thank you for that, Daz Broncos, all the way from, I think he was in Salt Lake City.
Was he?
Yeah. Sydney Malakalis. My mate thinks Bailey Smith looks like a drag queen. Does that put him in the top three drag queens of all time alongside RuPaul and Divine? Any other contenders from your vast experience? Oh, geez, we get some crap. Thank you, Sydney. Dudas Maximus questioned Zach, what should Cat fans be excited about Killian Burke?
We'll ask him on Saturday, so listen in.
The Cattery 07, brilliant first episode and great insights from Zach. It seems to me the team last week comprised of four types of players. Sprinters, Holmes, Dangerfield, Smith, Stewart, Neil and Mullen. Long distance beasts, Blitz, Myers, Dempsey, Nevitt, Cameron, Close, Atkins, Jumpers, Henry, both Henrys and SDK. Traditional footballers, well, College Asney didn't play. Clark, Zach Guthrie, Stengel, Bowes, O'Sullivan and Humphreys. My point being half the side appears either elite sprinters or elite long distance runners. Contrast that with a mix of years gone by, and it would seem a deliberate recruitment strategy to target pace or stamina.
Well, they targeted pace because they had no choice. The midfield was a bit pedestrian, so they went with Smith. They were developing Holmes. They're still going to need another one there because, I mean, Dangerfield's not going to be around forever. So, and they're trying to... We heard Zach Tuohy say on the weekend that he likes Dangerfield up forward because he's such a burst player. He goes into the midfield now and he gets gassed, and then he struggles then to use his burst A in the midfield, or B if he goes up forward. If you leave him up forward, he's able to use his burst, and we saw that firsthand on Saturday in the first half. He was quite dynamic. He was able to get a breather when the ball went out of the area, come back, and he was fresh and ready to go. So the Cats are going to have to find another over the next year or two, another outside midfielder with pace and skill. Because Danger, they're going to need something to complement more than just Holmes and Bailey Smith. And from what I've seen, Kingy, and you'd know better than me, I don't think they have that player that you would even consider developing at the moment on their list.
No.
There's no one in the twos who's an outside speedster, is there?
No.
So, that's something that they're going to have to look at in the draft. I don't know whether... I mean, I'm sure they look at it and... Do you think it's just the way things work, though? You get the player in and then it just, people start fitting a puzzle together that really wasn't a puzzle to start with. I don't know. Yeah. But he's right. There is seemingly a good mix in the team of a array of players with different skill sets, which is good.
Catters, was it?
We need a left footer.
Yeah. Yeah, Cameron's about...
He's our only one.
And Humphreys.
Well, yeah, he's a right foot, I think, but he's a left foot. He can use his left foot. We need... What I'd love, Kingy, is a silky, smooth, speedy left footer.
Darren Kapler?
Yeah, that sort of player. I'm trying to think of, you know, we need like an Errol Goulden type.
Yep. Was it Oisin, Mullen on Murphy, Reid when
can
he kicked four?
Can we get him, do you think?
No, I wouldn't have thought. What a gift for any opposition. Prefer Mullen develops and learns a game in the VFL.
Yeah, I agree. I'm starting to agree with that. He's found the going tough against two 18-year-olds.
All right. Hydro's Heroes.
Hydro's Heroes.
Have you got who we've picked already on you?
Yeah, no, I haven't, King. Okay, but so we've got Bruce Nankervis.
Yep.
We took Patrick Dangerfield.
Wayne Kloster.
We went with, who did we go with two?
We went with Tom Harley. Yep.
That was an easy one.
Well, it wasn't, because we had Zach Tui here when we picked Tom
Harley.
That's
right. Well, he was happy to go with Tom Harley. He was sort of culture changing, Harley. So he was an absolute lock.
Well, the fact they've actually named an award after him.
Yeah. Suggests. Have they got any awards named after you, King?
No, I wouldn't have thought. What number are we?
I went at a golf lesson yesterday.
Did you? You picked up a club again. Yeah, good.
Do you know what the doctor said? Yeah, the doctor.
The pro said, have you thought about being left-handed?
Is he sure you're right-handed? Yeah. No, after he said that.
No.
He goes, we need to work on your follow-through.
Right. Anyway.
And I go, do you know what he... And then he goes, it looks like you've shit your pants.
Were you moving everything bar your bows?
Absolutely, I was.
Is it good to be back with a golf club in hand?
No, I didn't have a lesson.
Oh.
No, that's just a joke.
All right, okay. Numbers.
I'm not paying some bozo to tell me how to swing the golf.
What numbers today, Benny?
Three.
That's a lock.
Three.
I don't think that's even up for debate.
18.
Yep.
Peter Johnson will get that, won't he?
He didn't.
318 and 27, Kingy.
All right, let's start with the easy one.
So let's just, yeah, well, three. So who have we got?
I'm just... Well, that qualifies.
Mm.
So you've got to play 50 games in 1975 onwards.
Yep.
So obviously you touched on Peter Johnson.
Yes.
He qualifies.
Good player, Peter Johnson.
Adam Houlihan.
Yes.
Was a jockey too, wasn't he?
He was, yeah.
Brandon Parfitt.
Well, he won't sneak in.
Toby.
I still scratch my head.
Yep.
It'll be a trivia question. Do they still play Trivial Pursuit?
Oh, yeah.
When you put your little bit of pie in the thing?
Yep.
What the hell happened to Brandon Parfitt? Can you explain it to me?
After about halfway through 2022.
Yeah, what happened?
Yeah.
We had some good ones.
Yep.
The bloke from Western Australia was pretty good, who captained the club.
Toby Bairstow.
He was an absolute gun.
Yep.
But ended up coaching St. Joey's.
Ken Newland.
Yes.
And who finished his career within that 50-year time frame.
We heard a great line about from Ian Cover on Saturday about Ken Newland.
Yeah.
How he
shot a goal after.
Shot a goal after trying to beat Collingwood.
Yep.
And he missed it. It was a shank, wasn't it?
Oh, I deliberately missed, I think.
No, he didn't deliberately miss. I think he missed it.
Yeah.
But they won by a point. And then the teammates, it must have been quite an easy shot for goal. And his teammates must have been ribbing him about missing the goal. And he said that he preferred to beat Collingwood. It's nothing better than beating Collingwood by 1 point rather than a goal.
But unfortunately, everybody is in the shadow of a young man called Jimmy Bartel.
Well, Bairstow was one of my favourite players when he came across.
Yeah.
So he was... fit as a fiddle, tough, yep. Skillful.
Went home for a year.
Yeah, I remember he came out and he played, you know, the big recruits used to come from the Waffle and the Sandfill, and you used to get quite excited that you'd got a player from interstate.
Mm.
And I remember he came out and he played in one of those night games out at Waverley, and he tore him apart. I reckon that was the day Gary Ablett went bananas.
Was that against Carlton?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I reckon it was Gary Ablett played on Tommy Elvin and absolutely pulled his hair.
Yeah.
And then he won a TV.
Yeah. That with Jack Edwards interviewing him after the game. You can still watch that interview on YouTube.
And Gaz, we won a video record.
Didn't Gaz play centre half back in that game?
I don't think so.
I think they were
kicking goals out of his ass.
Yeah, right.
But he won a, didn't he win a video recorder?
Yeah.
A beta video recorder?
No, it was a VHS.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
And he goes, that's that famous line when he goes, Gary, you've won the video recorder. He goes, have you got any videos? And Gary just goes, I'll have to buy some. He didn't have any, I guess. He might have had Saving Ryan's privates and at some point.
I wouldn't have thought.
He might have had a kingy.
Right. Yeah. So I think Jimmy Bartel ticked that box.
Well, yes, kingy. Yeah. A Brownlow medal.
Three-time
premiership player. Yeah, look, he was. And interestingly, kingy, he took a little bit of time to find his feet getting into the seniors. Mm. Remember in his second year? There was all this talk the Cats should get rid of him and he was too slow. And he, I think he played the first 12 or so games, I'm only guessing, but I reckon he played a good chunk, at least half the season in his second year in the twos.
Yep.
And he wasn't getting a game. And was this his first game when he ran back with the flight of the ball at the MCG against Essendon? I reckon him and Ablett played.
Yeah, they round 102.
And Jimmy went back with the flight of the ball and got cleaned up by Dustin Fletcher. Yeah. It was just a mark of things to come. But he took a little bit of time to find his feet. So you just need to be wary that the best don't always just come in like Joel Selwood and Chris Judd and play from day one. The other one who's taken a bit of time, Paul Chapman,
Spent
a whole season in the VFL. Corey Enright took about 4 years to find his feet in the seniors. Andrew Mackie, the list goes on and on and on. There is nothing wrong with playing, doing your time in the VFL. We just get, you know, blokes have had 3 years in the system. They might have only played 10 games. We've got to get rid of them. It's just, it's farcical.
The number 18 doesn't provide us with a lot. So to qualify 50
Murray
games.
Whitcomb.
Yeah, so, well, Murray Whitcomb has played the most games outside of Reg Hickey in the number 18 for the Cats. You would think that Tyson Stengel will go past that, but he won't.
There was
a
couple of handy names there, though.
So Murray Whitcomb in...
Four-time leading goal kicker.
Kent Kingsley.
Yes.
Stengel, Paul Lynch.
Well, Paul Lynch could have been anything, but he unfortunately his hamstrings wouldn't allow him to be anything.
I think he kicked 18 in a GFL game for Colac one day.
He was a very good player. Yeah. But just, I reckon he only played about 60 games.
Is it Stengel?
Kent Kingsley is a four-time leading goal kicker. Murray Whitcomb, how many games did Murray Whitcomb play?
121.
Yeah, that's not a bad effort. You couldn't have Stengel on, 3 years, could you?
70 games, 100.
What about Ken Gladman?
Ken Gladman.
What was Kenny's, story?
No, Ken was not, that's outside the alpha.
Right.
Years.
Was he a good player, though?
Oh, don't.
We might have to rush him into the team as like the sub.
49. No. Sean Denham.
Only 49 games.
Sean Denham only played.
Yeah, Sean
24.
Denham was a good player. Yeah. Went to Essendon.
I
am going.
Kent. Or Barry Wickham.
Four-time leading goal kicker.
Yeah, that's what I said, Kent.
It is. How many games did Kent play?
Kent played 110, kicked 227.
Look, Stengel will go past him, but if we're adjudicating this Marianne Van Dorsler style right now.
Under government supervision.
Yes. Then I think we probably need to go Kent Kingsley.
Okay. And
that's going to cause some consternation, though. And give it another two or three years.
He's been gone 19 years, and People will still hang SHIT.
I saw him a couple of weeks ago, too, at basketball. His son, Boston, is quite a good basketballer.
Yes.
So I see Kent just sort of perusing the basketball. He was quite a good basketball himself, Ken.
What was the last number?
The last number, Kingy, was number 2 and 7, 27.
All right.
So it's an easy one because Sam Menegola will get it.
Few to pick from.
Yes. There was one good one.
Abues.
Well, he was heart and soul, Cats. Yeah. Still is Geelong. Went to Brisbane, unfortunately, but he was... He didn't reach 200 at the Cats, did he?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, he did.
207.
207.
He's the only player to wear... Actually, although I don't... He did actually get to 200 games in the 27. He played his first six in the 46, and he played 201 in the 27. Then you got Brenton Sanderson on 199, Stokes on 189, Sam Menegola on 117, and that's probably it from that. So
it'd have to be Busey.
Yeah.
Club captain. The only one I'd say was that Brenton Sanderson, along with Tom Harley, was a bit of a culture changer at the Cats. The way he went about it, his professionalism.
Well, that was from living with Nathan Buckley.
Yeah, it set the standard. And I know he and Tom Harley were good mates. I don't know if they still are, but they were.
Yeah.
They probably still are. But Sanderson was pivotal in changing the mix-up. And then was an assistant coach, obviously.
Yep.
So stayed around. Stokes, he was a good pick-up.
Yeah.
He was a rookie
pick.
Yeah, that's when you that's how you build a good team, isn't it? When you can get a player as productive as he is off the, you know, off a rookie squad.
He had five consecutive years of 28 plus goals.
Yeah, he was a very, very accomplished player. He was what you love in the small forward, is he was clinical. He'd kick goals when he got opportunities. I heard some bozo say in round, wasn't this round? Yes, it was. That Jade Gresham, it might have been Matthew Richardson. I actually quite like Matthew Richardson's commentary, or some don't, but I don't mind it. But he said something to the effect that Jade Gresham must have come on as a sub, I reckon, against Hawthorn, possibly.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. And he said, you know, Jade Gresham, great finisher around goal.
No.
I'm thinking, that's the one thing he's not.
No.
He's not. He's that should be his go,
yep.
But he's a serial misser. He's a serial misser. And do you know who else was a little bit of a serial misser? And I'm being picky here, but he was a cat.
Mm-hmm.
He did some good things in some big games, but he was a bit of a serial misser with Shannon Burns.
Yep.
He could find a way to run into the open points all the time. And Jade Gresham does that all the time. If you are a small player, you have to be clinical in front of goal. That is why players like Myers, Stengel, Close are good. That is why players like Stevie J, Paul Chapman, who else is there? Charlie Cameron's pretty good. Those small forwards that don't get they get limited opportunities.
Papley,
they hit that. They kick goal. They'll kick you the easy goal, but they'll also kick you that harder goal.
Yeah.
They don't miss that often. They certainly will miss, but you know, just those small forwards that miss all the time. And Jade Gresham is one of those. I thought Matthew Richardson hasn't watched enough of Jade Gresham to know that he doesn't kick goals.
So the 3 is Jimmy Bartel, the 18 is Kent Kingsley, and the 27 is Andrew Buse for Hydro's Heroes. Next week's numbers, please, Benny.
I don't have them, King.
Okay,
will send them through, but I actually don't have them offhand. Maybe we could just go with the next lot down. Do you think we should just go with them ourselves?
So 4, 19, and 28?
Yeah.
Yep.
Why don't we do with that? I'm sure Hydro will be happy with
4, 19, and 28.
Jeez, there's a bit to talk about with the 4.
There is.
Kingy.
Yep.
And I'm just looking at perusing 19.
Not a lot there.
No. Taylor Hunt.
Derek Hall.
Well, he had sure hands, Derek Hall. And it was other than 28, Kingy. Yeah. There's not a lot.
Bundy.
Did Paul Sarah wear 28?
Yeah.
No, he was 13.
Yeah.
There's Hugh Strawn.
Yeah. But who coached Newtown?
Andy Preston.
Yep. Came from Richmond or went to Richmond?
Andy Preston.
Yep.
Yeah, he socks down Andy.
Yeah. Back when players didn't wear socks down.
Looking forward. That's Hydro's Heroes for this week. So I'm marking all those down, Kingy, furiously.
6 o'clock Saturday night.
Yes.
See you
then. Looking forward to that. Yep. Cats are best wins.
KRockFootball.live.
Yes. Get all over it, Kingy. Zach Tui will be joining us.
9:55.
We'll ask him about
Killian Burke.
Yeah. The Cat Attack Podcast.
KERS Hire, locally owned and operated for over 40 years.